I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Memo. It is Monday, February 15th. Happy after Valentine's Day. That's right. All the chocolate, 70% off. Get it now while it lasts.
See, if you're smart, you just wait till today to buy your loved one Valentine's candy.
I don't think that they would consider you smart.
Valentine's Day is a purely...
Well, yeah, it's a stupid holiday.
It's Madison Avenue, 100%.
But if you're going to eat it, if you're going to be getting something or giving something, I don't think the time to do it's the day after. I think that's a no-no.
Candy's just as fresh today as it was 2 days ago.
That's not the point, I don't think. I think it shows a forgetful manner, not a thrifty manner. Although it does scream cheap, so, you know,
well,
there's
you
that
know.
Too.
And industrious.
In these times.
That's just a synonym for cheap.
I mean, I did buy my candy like on Friday, so for my family. So
no, Friday was not the 13th.
Friday was the 12th.
Friday was the 12th.
Did you know Halloween is on a Friday the 13th this year?
I don't think that's possible.
Yeah, I know. That was the joke this past
Friday the 31st.
That meme.
Flip it.
Yeah.
That was a meme?
It was.
That's not even well thought out.
It's not, but some people, you'd
I
be
mean,
surprised.
I mean, as are most memes, but...
But you'd be surprised how many people are fooled by
meme
it.
Is meme the correct pronunciation?
That's what I hear, because Mimi just sounds
Mimi
weird. Mimi sounds
sound
like
right.
Your grandmother. My Mimi
Let's
is going to come make me cookies. I mean,
Here
so I think
go.
It's meme.
Right.
Of course...
Meme.
Also, though...
You only have to say it one time. He's getting mad at me.
I prefer...
Meme
I prefer... Speaking of internet
it's
language...
GIF.
It's GIF, although it should be GIF, because the guy who invented it says, well, it stands for a graphics
yes,
interface.
Yes, but he said it's pronounced GIF.
Which is dumb. Why would he say that when it's graphics, GIF?
Where
do you get the G?
Matter.
Where do you get that G sound, GIF?
It's GIF.
When I think GIF, I think peanut butter.
Peanut butter.
God knows I do.
I just
look
prefer GIF. It's a preference.
Speaking of looking at me, look at you.
Look at me.
Didn't learn from your mistakes, did you?
It's still here.
How'd the concert go?
I wasn't actually at the concert.
Wouldn't let you in, huh?
Oh, no, because I didn't have a ticket.
Yeah.
But my daughter...
You didn't look creepy enough.
I probably wouldn't have let me buy a ticket. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, sir.
I made the joke about somebody calling it suspicious behavior looking at you, but that, you know, alludes to some sort of ambiguity. There's no ambiguity there. You would definitely be up to no good.
Yeah, definitely.
Why did you bring binoculars? That makes it 10 times worse. I just want to see the show.
Just sit in my car across the street.
Oh, God. Shame it. It's time.
I went. My daughter had a good time. I had a good dinner at the Iron City Grill and went to Starbucks.
You were sitting there by yourself alone
with
that?
I was. Eventually,
I mean,
Starbucks,
who would be with you with that?
Starbucks closed. So I'm like, it's too cold to wander around downtown Birmingham at night.
I learned a lot of stuff from Facebook this weekend.
Okay.
Your wife hates it.
Oh, yeah. She hates it.
She's backing me up on this 100%.
Well, she hates it. Ellie Turner, who is on the show later, does not like it.
I feel like this is our Captain America, Iron Man, Civil War thing going on right here.
So there are a few people that don't particularly care for it, but then there's other people who Archie, who works here just a few moments ago, mm-hmm. said it makes me, said it's a Chuck Norris kind of look I got going on.
Yeah.
I can dig that.
You do kind of resemble a what did you say, industrious? An industrious Tony Stark, so.
I've gotten a couple of Starsky and Hutch comparisons.
Yeah. Well, that was okay back then.
Still
it's
2016.
Okay now. There's nothing okay.
I'm bringing
about
the
what's
70s back,
face.
Derek.
Here's the thing. Mustache Bash is
March 19th.
That's a month. That's over a month away.
I know.
What's happening now?
I'm just seeing if this works for Mustache
Bash.
If it doesn't, I'll try something else. I got to give myself time to grow the hair out.
How long is it going to take you to see if it works?
I don't know.
Well, why don't you go ahead and trim it? Yeah, it's been a week almost. What?
It's been a week, yeah.
It's not working.
It's working fine. It's working.
Let's put it to a vote. It's 2-1.
All that matters is the theme is set. Okay, Chris, thanks.
He's on my side.
Thanks for turning on me. The theme is 70s funk.
Plus the wife gets like, what, 4 votes on you? So.
Well, yeah, but the theme is 70s funk. So this, to me, just screams 70s funk. You can say whatever you want. I don't care.
I mean, I love you, but... I don't love that.
Yeah, well.
I just don't want to get near you with it.
Hmm.
It feels icky.
Yeah, well. deal with it.
I'm not going to say what I said off of air.
No, they won't say that. How was your Valentine's Day?
It was important. I was here.
You were here?
Yeah, I work on Sunday.
That's right. You do. Sucker. So do I, Sunday mornings. So it's like whatever.
It's fine.
I sat around the house and did nothing and ate too much candy and did more of nothing.
Well, you can go buy more today. It's 70% off.
Sure is.
Although knowing Walmart at 10:45 last night, they had already shucked the Valentine's aisle for Easter.
No, Easter stuff's probably up already. Yeah.
St. Patrick's Day.
I don't know.
St. Patrick's Day.
Well, they can do both. St. Patrick's Day is not as big a deal.
Well, the Irish beg to differ.
Hey, my wife's a quarter Irish, but I mean, come on. It's just an excuse to get drunk. That's it. That's the only...
This took a dark turn.
Come on.
Do we just forget about President's Day?
Yeah, that's today.
Well, did you get me anything? Because apparently you forgot about it.
Maybe so.
School's out.
Not for everybody. Like, my kids,
they're
in school because they had that snow day they have to make up.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Tupelo got that
when it didn't actually snow here in Tupelo that day.
I do. Speaking of memes, I do love those when it's supposed to snow really bad and then it doesn't, and people like take the picture of the one lawn chair laying on. It's like, we will rebuild.
That never gets old.
I mean, it does after you see it about 12 times in your feed, but you know, it's still the concept is quite funny.
Yes. Yeah. It is.
I enjoy it. What all do we have to discuss today, Bradley?
Well, I mentioned Ellie and Lauren.
Is it Bradley? Bradford?
Bradley.
It is Bradley.
I was in first grade. I went to this small private school, so it was like older kids were there as well, and they would call me Little Bradley.
Mm.
Yeah.
That should be your rapper name.
Lil Bradley. Lil Bradley.
This is the whitest conversation anybody has ever had.
I don't know. MC Locke is still my preference.
True. That is the whitest thing ever. Okay.
Okay.
What do we have today?
Yeah, what do we have? Ellie and Lauren.
Hit him off with the remix, Lil Bradley. No, not with that on your face.
I was going to do some beatboxing. Come on. Ellie and Lauren are going to talk about the new issue of Mud and Magnolias. We're going to have Caleb Bedillion, or the new guy. He's been on before. Talk about Elvis Birthplace Trail. Street work going on Main Street. They just finished up some crosswalks. And we've got Adam Robinson talking about his In Focus photo essay in today's journal. And it's Monday. We have crime reports.
I'm hoping your mugshot's going to be in them.
Nope. Too bad. Not yet. I told you I stayed out of jail in Birmingham.
We don't know what happened in Birmingham. None of us were there.
I'm here now, aren't I?
You look like you rubbermate the road a little bit, though. A hard weekend.
You haven't explained the tattoo yet.
Yeah.
What?
Or why your arms
can't even see it right now.
I know, but it's bleeding through your shirt a little bit. And why there?
Mm.
All that and more on today's episode of The Memo.
All right, let's bring Caleb Bedillion back in here. He's been on the show before, our local government reporter, a.k.a. the new guy. Hey, Caleb, what's up?
Thanks, Brad. I'm glad to be back on the show today.
Let's talk about that Elvis birthplace project thingy that's been going on for like ever.
Thingy. It's a very technical term.
I think that's on the official the plans.
Thingy? Yeah,
thingy. Elvis birthplace thingy.
Brad, I think what you're talking about is the Elvis Presley birthplace trail.
Well, that's why you get paid the big bucks, Caleb, to get the information correct. I just host a podcast. I don't have to do any research. So they finally got these crosswalks done. They kind of made things inconvenient last week, I guess it was.
Right.
Closing Green Street right there at Main Street, because I saw a bunch of people driving confusedly, which is actually not abnormal around here. But they look nice.
Right, right. And they're not quite done yet. So what they finished is across Green Street at the Main Street intersection, they've got a bricked pedestrian pathway across Green on both the north and south sides. They still have a little bit more finishing work to do to make everything look pretty.
Right.
Crosswalks going across Main Street will need to be installed at the intersections of Green, Spring, and Front Streets.
Right.
So there's more crossworks yet to be done, but officials still say the project is on track to be done by mid-June.
Now, obviously, these intersections have had quote-unquote crosswalks, like painted on the street, but now we got these fancy schmancy brick crosswalks. Is that more for aesthetics, or is there like a more also maybe more practical?
I think it's mainly aesthetics, and then there's going to be a pretty extensive landscaping through the entire width and breadth and length and something.
Well, they look nice. They look nice.
That's good. That's the idea.
And it's preferable to me to have something like that. It kind of ties in with the rest of that downtown Fair Park area with the bricks and that sort of look. And of course, they've got the sidewalks that they've been working on, and those look nice. It's starting to come together.
Sure. Well, I mean, the heart of the Elvis Presley Birthplace Trail is to connect the city's number one tourist destination with downtown, which is experiencing a revitalization of its commercial and business activity.
Right.
So the idea is, you know, we don't want the tourist to come in, stop off at the birthplace, and then continue on the way to Graceland in Memphis.
Right.
If we can get them to stay in Tupelo a little bit, do a little shopping downtown, then that's a good thing. So it's to create kind of a corridor between this downtown commercial and the birthplace.
Right, and certainly a lot of work going on the other side of 45 over there with the bridges and whatnot.
That's right.
This project on pace to be done around mid-June.
That's right.
They still have to repave Main Street from the Green Street intersection east down toward North Veterans, so that's going to be fun when they get to repaving stuff.
That's right, but it'll also be fun once it's done. So then you'll have a completely repaved road, like you said, from Green to North Veterans, and then part of North Veterans and Reese on into the actual birthplace entrance will be repaved.
What'll be really nice about that is that all the lines painted on the road and the painted over lines and all of that stuff that confuses people will finally be fixed, like that intersection at the railroad tracks at Front Street. They need to take care of that. So
Main from 45 to North Veterans will be five lanes.
That's right.
Two travel lanes in each direction with a turn lane in the middle.
Yeah. So looking forward to all that getting done again. Just a few months away, four months away on that, I guess. Another story you had recently, Caleb, over the weekend. This ran on Saturday. Talking about neighborhood associations, of course, several neighborhoods in Tupelo have these associations. And recently, City Council approved the Audubon Woods Association.
That's right.
That was just last month. And what's the, what are they hoping to accomplish by forming this association?
Sure. Well, I think it's important to point out first, the neighborhood associations are basically civic social organizations. They're not homeowners associations. You don't pay dues, and they don't have any regulatory authority. They can't tell you. You can't put those bushes in your front yard or anything like that. They really are about neighborhood camaraderie and community building and, you know, efforts to make the neighborhood better, but more grassroots, volunteer-driven. Sure. So off of Lawndale, you have the Audubon neighborhood, which is a subdivision that has had its own neighborhood association, but that association apparently has been somewhat dormant in recent times.
Right.
So Audubon Woods, which is contained within the Audubon subdivision, decided maybe if they form their own smaller association, they'd have a better chance of getting something that'd be more sustainable and volunteer driven, you know, really build some community there. So it's about 55 homes in the Audubon Woods Association. They've already had a potluck. They're looking forward to having some other social events to make sure all the neighbors know each other and can look out for each other.
You spoke with a Dr. Bill Hilbin, a retired physician. He's the association president.
That's right.
And he's been living in that area for a long time.
That's
right. You know, he kind of talks about how important it is. Kind of what's the sense you get of what these neighborhood associations mean to Tupelo and just, like you said, just kind of that interconnectedness.
Sure. Well, certainly, like I said, Dr. Hilbin has been in Tupelo with his wife 40 years, and then he's lived in the house he's in now, I think about 17 years.
Right.
And, you know, he said certainly he's involved in many volunteer organizations in Tupelo, and he said he's really bought into the idea of the Tupelo spirit and the community coming together. So he thinks the neighborhood associations have an important role to play in making sure that each of the neighborhoods in the city have, you know, a sense of vitality, a sense of community, to make sure these neighborhoods are places that people want to live in.
Right,
and that obviously ties in to the vision the city government our leaders in city government have right now of revitalizing some of these Tupelo neighborhoods.
Okay, good stuff. You can read Caleb's stories in the Daily Journal or at djournal.com. Caleb, thanks for coming on.
All right, thanks, Brad.
We want to remind you about our Entertain Us movie contest going on right now. Short films by local filmmakers are going head-to-head in the Daily Journal's first movie contest. The submissions are in, and we now need you to determine the winners. Voting will take place daily at djournal.com/entertainus. There will be one head-to-head contest each weekday, and winners will advance in a bracket-style competition. Voting is underway and lasts through March 6. Watch the videos, choose your favorites, and be entertained. Speaking of being entertained, Adam Robinson joining us now. Adam, how are you, sir?
Very well.
Adam, you visited Tupelo Upholstery recently, didn't you?
Yes, went up there. Oh, it was last Thursday morning. You know, I've just got a list of guys that I'll call and mark them off, and these were one of them. It's sort of like the shoe guy.
Yeah.
You know, I see
the
that
cobbler.
Just guys that are, yeah, they work with their hands. It's, you know, people sort of forget about them.
Yeah. Well, what amazed me about this company, I think, been around since 91. Is that what you said?
They've been here in Tupelo since 91. He started out in Boonville.
Oh, okay.
Tim Kessler. He owns Tupelo Upholstery and moved here in 91. I failed to ask if he's been in the same location since then, but you know.
Regardless, what amazed me with it is there's only three guys doing this. It's just him and his two employees working.
And David Wheatley's been with him 22 years.
Have you ever, you like cars. Have you ever
taken
anything
to I've redone
a
headliner. Yeah. And they were doing a headliner. I was like, hey, I've done that before. And they're like, wow. I always come across to be the type of guy that folks will look at me and be like, you don't know anything about that. But they were doing, I was like, hey, you guys are doing a headliner. Cool. Which I was hoping for. The other fella, Daniel Connor, is like, yeah, people don't believe us when, you know, they're like, hey, how are you getting that headliner out of the car? It's like, it comes out the side of the door because they have some flex in it.
Yeah.
He's like, you're lying. You got to take the back window out. And he's like, no, it's going to come out the door. And it went in the door.
Yeah.
When they
put
it back in.
That's the way it's going to come back
in. Yeah, I mean, it's just got some flex in it. But no, you know, when your headliner fails, it's just the fabric portion that starts falling. It separates from the foam that's its backing, and it just goes on some sort of I don't want to say a cardboard, but it's some sort of fiber-based material that stabilizes it, and that's the part that comes out, and it just snaps in. So you gotta peel the fabric back, and then there's the foam, and you gotta scrape that off with some sort of brush and clean it good, and then glue it. You know, you glue the back of the liner going in, and you also glue the support. And they had that thing knocked out, you know, fairly quick.
I had a Jeep in college that it was starting to fall in, and I thought, yeah, I'll redo this myself. And I got about halfway through, and I was like, no, we're just going to take this somewhere.
Yeah, the one I had on the car, I pulled out of some dude's yard years ago. It's, you know, he just took a razor blade and cut the fabric and sprayed glue on the top. So I had these huge, nasty clumps of glue. It looked like someone projectile vomited onto the roof.
Yeah.
And I was almost scared to touch it.
That was good enough for him, I guess.
But when I did it, I took everything out of the car. I was taking everything out anyway. I was like, I can knock this out. I did.
These seem to be extremely professional. They've got the seats on the tables, redoing those. They also do leather conversions.
They do leather conversions. Cloth. And, you know, the thing about it is you don't have to replace the entire seat. You can go in and they'll take the cover off and they'll, you know, cut all the stitching out and they'll redo just one section. So, I mean, if you're thinking, I've got a messed up seat, I got to get the whole seat done, they can just replace a section.
Nice. So where are they located?
They are located on President Extended. I believe the address is 2250. I may be wrong, but it's there at the corner of Cliff Gookin. There's a gas station there, too. And, yeah, President's Extended in Cliff Gookin. That's the best way to say it.
Right.
Little metal building, Tupelo Upholstery.
Good work, Adam.
Go see them.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, kiddos.
And don't forget about today's news memos. For more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. A commercial building boom has been underway in Tupelo. The past 2 years has seen a boost in commercial projects. More than 4,000 permits valued at $118 million have been approved by the city's Development Services Department. At least 6 retail shopping projects are either under construction or in the development phase. You can see a list of those projects in the Daily Journal or at djournal.com.
Sunday's Daily Journal had a couple of stories that looked at Valentine's Day from different angles. Education reporter Emma Kent talked to elementary school students about their Valentines and what the holiday means to them. Meanwhile, Zach Orsborn has a story about couples who met or reunited through social media. Read both of those in Sunday's Daily Journal or at djournal.com.
Commercial air service in Tupelo is set to resume on March 22nd. Corporate flight management will provide service between Tupelo and Nashville. Air officials plan to throw a reception for the airline later this month, and board member Jim Newman said he hopes a large turnout of 200 to 300 people will greet CFM officials at the reception.
In honor of Black History Month, the Tupelo Convention and Visitors Bureau plans to unveil a new exhibit honoring Frank Dedrick Dowsing Jr. Dowsing was one of the first African Americans to attend Tupelo High School at the end of segregation in 1967. He also was a legendary athlete. The CVB asked all former schoolmates and teammates to come join the opening of the exhibit in the CVB lobby on Friday at 10:30 a.m.
Health advocates are looking to turn out the lights on teen tanning bed use. A coalition of advocates gathered on Thursday to support a bill introduced earlier this week to prohibit those under age 18 from using indoor tanning devices. According to data from the American Cancer Society, tanning bed use before age 35 increases the risk of melanoma by 59%. 11 states, including Louisiana, currently ban tanning bed use by minors.
Okay, well, I'm surrounded by Ellie Turner and
Fabulous
Lauren Wood.
Women. Yes.
Well, yes.
The baddest women saying. At the Journal.
Yes. Ellie Turner and Lauren Wood here with us. Happy birthday, Lauren.
Thank you.
Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. Happy
is your birthday.
V-Day.
How's that every year, having Valentine's
so
Day?
So awesome. Yeah. I love it.
Really? You get twice as much stuff?
Yes. And even if I don't have a boyfriend, I do right now, but if I don't, I still okay. get presents because it's my birthday.
Nice.
My mom, even this year, I was very impressed. She found a greeting card that was like Valentine's birthday.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people.
How hard are those?
I went to high school with two other girls, like in our grade. I had a big graduating class, like Tupelo size, but there were three of us that had the same birthday.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Fun.
Yep.
Okay.
Anyways, we digress.
No, it's fine. We have some Valentine's Day related stuff to talk about in a minute. Yeah. But we're here mainly to talk about the new issue of the Mud and Magnolias magazine produced by Journal Incorporated. February-March issue is out. It's the travel issue. Ellie, you're the editor, I guess, would be the title.
That is correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The big cheese with this one.
Yep.
It's all on you.
The head honcho. I can't say what I want to say.
And Lauren took a lot of the pictures, photos, mm-hmm. in here. Lots of good stories. Obviously, it's the travel issue, so mm-hmm. there's a couple here about Columbia, Mississippi, which I don't think I've been to unless I went as a child, and Athens, Georgia, which is an awesome place to visit. I've been there a few times.
I didn't shoot either of those, but some talented photographers did.
Yes.
Yeah. We made sure, and we try to do this with all of our travel features, but we make sure to get local writers and local photographers. So both for Columbia and Athens, the people who wrote those stories live there, and same thing for the photographers. So I was really proud of that. Actually, the girl who wrote Columbia, the Columbia feature, it was my college roommate.
Oh, so Caitlin mm-hmm. DeBose.
Yes, she grew up in Columbia. Thought she did a really great job, but yeah, Red Bluffs was like the first thing that kind of drew us there, just because it's an interesting thing when you look at those photos.
Yeah, like that's in Mississippi.
That's in Mississippi. Yeah. So it looks really cool. But Columbia is a quaint little town. It has a lot of art, a lot of culture, a lot of history. So I've been there several times. I have some friends there that are from there. So yeah, I was glad we got to feature them.
Yeah. Cool. Speaking of local authors, J.B. Clark, a former Journal employee, mm-hmm. Did something on these on fish and steakhouses in the area. And Lauren, you got to shoot some of that.
Yeah, I went to Waterfront and Country Gentleman in Fulton, and then the Friendship House in Aberdeen. And everyone was super friendly. It was really fun to kind of go out and see all the different places and just like good catfish.
Yeah, I love those kind of places. And mm-hmm. I'm just looking at pictures of fried catfish and hush puppies. And Anyway, I see a picture here from the Friendship House. They got some photos on the wall. Mm-hmm. One of them's looks like Ray Romano. So yeah. They have famous people come there.
They're kind of known for that. Like this, one of their friends is Sam Haskell, who's the agent for Dolly Parton. So she's come to visit. They've had different people come, you know, and it's fun because it's now up on the wall.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. I'm looking, and obviously I don't get out to eat at these kind of places as much as I'd like because I don't think I've been to any of these places, which is just sad.
Out a little ways, but terribly they're sad. Worth the drive.
Yes.
I feel like all of like the best like hole-in-the-wall places, mm-hmm. you got to drive a little way.
Well, even Country Gentlemen, they were telling me, Miss Beverly Bean, she was like, we have a couple here actually right now. They come every week from Tupelo. They drive over.
Yeah, yep. I'm sure they all have those regulars like that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. this has caught my fancy because I like cigars. Dalton Healy of Spring Street Cigars. Y'all had a Q&A with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's only 25 years old.
Yeah, and opened his own business. And
yeah, he's a... He's a super cool dude. So we met Dalton. Lauren and I both have met him kind of on a personal level outside of work.
Okay.
And just the nicest guy you'll meet, I feel like. Mm-hmm. He's very personable. Of course, I'd heard about Spring Street Cigars and knew that he was heading that up. And I feel like he's just doing a lot of really cool things. He's got, and I went to one in the fall, but... his little beer garden, and he talks about that in his Q&A, but that he's trying to start up, and I think he has some big plans for that this spring. But I really like people coming to Tupelo and doing things that haven't been done before. Yeah. And
pushing the envelope a little bit.
Yeah, and I feel like that there is definitely a young crowd here that wants that kind of stuff and is kind of hungry for a place that it has culture and is a good place for gathering, I guess.
The older crowd likes it too. Mm-hmm. I like going in there sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I classify you as younger.
Okay. Well, people say I don't look 40, right? No.
40's young, or kind of.
Ish,
yeah.
So mustache make me look older or younger?
Just older. Creepier.
For the win.
Derek will love that.
It's the second time today. JB Clark, we mentioned him, his wife April went into the coffee shop where she works, and she's like, man, I think it's scary.
Yeah. You can leave it to April to say exactly what she thinks.
Yes, and apparently you too.
No. Yeah, always. That is me.
I appreciate the honesty. But still, you're outvoted here at the Journal. Most people like it.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
Sucking up.
Okay.
I don't know why.
I have no authority here. Anyway, lots of good stuff in here, including this Jeff Weddle fella, this author. Lauren, you shot this, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I met him at MUW, which is where he was a professor.
Okay.
He currently teaches at Alabama.
Okay, but he's from Mississippi. Right.
Yeah. Well,
he's been in Mississippi.
A lot of his writing and stuff has a lot of Mississippi references.
Okay.
So
he went to school for
at
Ole
Miss.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it says he moved here three times. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's kind of been
right. Okay.
Yeah.
So his ties here.
I love stories like that where Mississippi has kind of made its mark on people, and
yes,
I think that he reflects that and his work does too. So
yeah.
Glad to have him in there.
There's this cool video y'all did. I guess I need to ask you about.
Well, yeah, it kind of relates to our food shoot we did, which is something we've actually never done before. And we're like, oh, we should do a kind of a Valentine's related.
Yeah, like a romantic dinner
for two meal. So we did.
For those who opt to stay inside
and cook.
Yeah. Not brave the crowds.
And shrimp linguine and red velvet brownies.
Oh, yeah, I had some of those. Those were good.
Yeah, brought those to the office.
Lauren made those. Montana. They were delicious.
And this awesome, like, salad with strawberries and balsamic and grilled onions, too. Or, like, sauteed onions.
And goat cheese. Mm-hmm. Are you a fan of goat cheese?
I don't know that I've
Ellie
ever tried it.
Hates it.
I hate goat cheese, but I like the salad, which is odd.
I like most cheeses, so I don't know.
And some awesome asparagus.
The asparagus right across the page from the Urology Associates.
We did that on purpose.
But for the video, we're like, let's keep this going. We've been trying to do a video with each issue.
Mm-hmm.
And for this one, we're like, hey, let's try a recipe video. And we were like... picks the conversation hearts for like kind of Valentine's Day related and tackled it. It was a process, but
it was definitely what we like to call a labor of love.
Pun definitely intended.
Yes. hearts everywhere. but yeah, I mean, it was time consuming, but I think for those who really want to, you know, put their personal touch on Valentine's Day.
Well, the process itself took about an hour, but then it has to sit and dry. So you kind of have to have a little bit of patience,
right.
I also want to point out the one little heart that says forever. All of my friends have called me and they're like, did you draw that one? Yes, I did.
Yeah, it's a cool video. It's like about a minute and a half, and then the angle is from above. All you see is a pair of hands. And it's, you know,
Ellie's hands.
Yes. I was wanting to ask whose hands those were.
Those were mine.
Okay.
I did the labor.
Yeah, preparing the little, how you make, showing how you make the little hearts. And it's kind of done in fast forward.
Yep.
You know.
And you can find it on our Facebook page and our website,
which is mudandmag.com.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
And be looking for more stuff like that, because we're in it now. We've got this first one under our belt, so we're going to be churning out some videos.
Nice. And where can people find a hard copy of the magazine?
So we have always here at the Journal, a rack. Then we have several around Tupelo, Fulton, Amory, Oxford, Corinth, New Albany, just retail locations.
Sure.
But if you're looking for a location specifically, you can always go to our website, www.mudandmag.com. And under the magazine tab, there is a place that says find a copy.
Okay.
And so that has our list of locations. And then there's also a digital edition on our website at the bottom on our bookshelf. So, and you can look at past issues there too. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of different ways that you can get the content, but we're really proud of this one. I'm really pleased with all of the reproduction and everything of all the photos.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it turned out really well. So. Yes, yeah, we do have subscriptions. Yeah, most we do. We have some of my family does, some of Lauren's, and Chris actually. Yeah, you've gotten some. So yeah, we do have subscriptions, and you can do that on our website as well. So actually, under that magazine tab, it says subscribe, so you can get it all.
Good deal
on the website.
All right, Mud Magnolias new issues out, so check it out, Ellie, Lauren. Ladies, thank you.
Thanks, Brad. Thanks, 70s, Brad.
I didn't need to remind y'all about a couple of other podcasts we have here at the Daily Journal and djournal.com. We got... thank you, Derek. We've got double coverage coming up on Thursday, Ole Miss and MSU Sports Talk with Parrish and Logan, so check that out Thursday afternoon. And Wednesday, we got Prep Rally, our high school sports podcast with Gene Phelps and myself. That'll be a live webcast, and usually around 11 o'clock Wednesday morning, and we'll have it in podcast form by early afternoon. So check those out. You can listen to both on iTunes or your podcast apps. You can listen to Double Coverage at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Listen to Prep Rally at preprally.djournal.com. Okay. You know what time it is, Derek? Derek, quit tweeting about me. trying to do a podcast here, and you're sending out pictures. He's having way too much fun with this mustache. Let me just say, don't go to Derek's Twitter page today, people. Just don't do it.
I guess he's trying to blackmail you to get rid of it. He's just going to keep.
He's going to keep mocking me until, and I'm apparently a willing participant.
I will concede.
Yeah, whatever.
When you shave it.
Don't give up, Brad.
All right, let's see if Brad's mugshot made it into the crime reports.
Nope,
go.
Stayed out of jail.
No.
Too bad for you.
Well, entertain me otherwise.
Okay.
Then.
You can find these at the tipsheet.djournal.com and lots
take,
more.
Take the hard hat off, please.
I don't have it on. I already took it off.
How do they know? They're not seeing you.
Well,
stop looking at me like that.
Hey, buddy.
No.
An Eggville man said he met a man at an Auburn Road store, and the suspect wanted him to deliver a package to the Guntown Police Department. Well, this sounds like it's on the up and up. Here, you take the package to the police department that nobody knows what's in it. Okay? I don't want to do it.
Okay, it's like the airport rules. Did anybody pack your belongings for you?
Here, just walk into the police department with a strange package.
Here,
everything will be fine.
I'm sure it's fine. I just made him a cake with a file in it. Just take that up to the...
Well, the suspect said it was a radio, but the man couldn't tell, so he called 911. Smart for him. When deputies arrived, they opened the package.
It was a bomb and a radio. And
they found a plastic bag with undetermined contents. Like, how do you, like...
Determined?
Undetermined. Like, we don't know what these things are. I guess it was not
undetermined.
That's the language content. They used. Yeah, so it's not a radio, I guess. It's just random
parts
to something. Like, you'd think you'd be able to look at this and be like, okay, this is whatever, something that goes to probably this thing. Like, how do you, I don't know. So, yeah, I'm just curious about what the guy who put the stuff in the packages.
What became of what became of the guy?
What's his state of mind here? We'll throw all these random.
This is more confusing because I don't know how it ends.
Yeah, I know. That's it. We don't know.
I don't as much want to know what was in it as why somebody wanted it delivered there and couldn't do it themselves.
And then it ends up not being anything that people recognize.
This is the lamest prank ever.
Pretty much.
Are they on a scavenger hunt or something? Okay, moving on. You failed to entertain me. I have more questions than I have answers.
Sorry. A County Road 1451 Saltillo woman said someone entered her house by removing a window unit air conditioner. The burglar stole 3 cats, 3 dogs, and the portable dog kennel on the front porch. They're just...
Cruella DeVille?
Yeah.
Maybe.
At large.
Stole cats, too, though. So the joke, obviously, I made on my blog was cat burglar.
Yeah.
Okay. That's too easy, but yeah. Remove the air conditioning unit.
She needed it for the cats.
This is why you should get central heat and air. People get
this is
that.
True.
Yeah.
I don't understand those houses that don't have them.
I don't know.
I mean, I understand houses being built before there was central heat.
Right.
And
I
air,
mean, when I grew up, that's what we had. Oh, those units.
That is of Satan.
I don't know, though. On a really hot day, you walk in and just stand right in front of it. That's pretty enjoyable.
Would you just stand in front of the vent where there's
Well, sometimes it's like up on the ceiling or behind the couch or you can't get to it.
I used to, when it was really hot when I was a kid, I'd lay in the floor because we were on a platform and the vents were in the floor and I'd put my face on it.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
Yeah. Memories.
Anyway. Don't try and relate to me.
The manager of a South Gloucester car parts store said a Nissan pickup truck hit a fire hydrant and also hit a store vehicle parked outside the business. The woman driving the truck said she had an argument with her husband and he was following her. When the manager called police, the woman took off running toward Roosevelt Street.
What? Was it the typical, like in the movie, the fire hydrant spraying everywhere, the other cars
that
hit,
I don't
she
know.
Took off running?
I hope so.
Was there a fruit cart somehow involved? Because that's always
two guys carrying a mirror.
Yeah, a window. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Jugglers. The whole
guy
nine yards.
Guy on a unicycle.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know. Her husband and her got in an argument. He
was following.
He was not
her.
Done with the argument. He still had a point to make, so he followed her.
And she drove into
for some reason, she hit a fire hydrant.
Fire hydrant. And then took off on foot.
And she hit another car, and then she just took off running.
It's the worst episode of Cops ever.
Yeah. So, don't know what she did with the car. Just left it there to get towed.
Well, if it hit a fire hydrant, it's probably ruined.
Maybe her husband picked her up.
Your phone just restarted.
Yeah, it does that. Last one, a Monument Drive woman said her boyfriend dropped her off at work Thursday afternoon and never returned. She later learned that her car was wrecked and towed away.
He's been dead for 4 years.
Not quite that bad.
Okay.
But she later learned that her car was wrecked and towed away after being involved in a pursuit by the Shannon police.
Well, I wonder where he was.
All right, honey, I'll pick you up at 5, but first, I need to go get involved in this. I need to go run from the cops.
I got to stick it to the man.
I've got to go commit some kind of crime, possibly, and then the police might chase me out, but I should be back by 5.
So the car
5:15 at the latest.
Yeah, car is impounded. If I'm not here by 5:20, just wait longer. Car is impounded. He's impounded, incarcerated.
Yeah, probably so.
If I'm not here by 5:20, look for me in the jail.
Yeah.
You're going to have to hitch a ride home, hon. Sorry. Was that his one phone call to her? I'm not getting you today.
One phone call, sending a taxi to go pick her up.
Yeah, so.
She's not even mad about him being in jail. She's just mad about her car.
I would be.
That was my Buick. What?
Rather have my car back in good shape.
You can get another boyfriend.
Exactly. Cars are
expensive.
That's grounds for breaking up.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah, so.
I think being in jail is definitely grounds for breaking up.
You would think so. But anyway, that's it for crime reports. Again, you can read more at tipsheet.djournal.com.
No mugshots? I mean, I know not yours.
Oh, we had a guy in a Bill Cosby sweater, and I restrained myself with that. I didn't make a Bill Cosby joke.
I'm proud of you.
That would have been way too easy.
For showing restraint.
But it was
there.
An ugly sweater.
Yeah.
Really ugly.
Good old Cosby sweater.
I mean, they probably saw him in that sweater and like, that guy's done something against the law. Let's pick him up.
The thing is, and God knows, I mean, he's done obviously some terrible things. But I still feel the need to call them Cosby sweaters, but I feel bad doing it. So is it okay to just call it a Huxtable sweater? Can we all just make a general rule that now we refer to them as Huxtable sweaters?
That's fine, because Cliff Huxtable, the character, was an upstanding citizen.
He was, as far as you know.
Well, true. Yeah. We thought Bill Cosby was, too, for a long time. So, yeah.
Alicia Rashad knew better.
Yeah, yeah. Well.
This got dark.
Anyway. That's it for crime reports.
And for the memo.
Oh, yeah, we're done, huh? Are we done? We're done.
Are we done?
We're done.
Do we need to do this?
Yeah, just thing? Go ahead and wreck it into a fire hydrant and run away.
We also need to remind people about Capital View. It's a webcast each Monday afternoon. Hey, that's today, Monday. So check it out at djournal.com. Watch the replay if you miss it. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated by Mississippi lawmakers. Again, watch live each Monday afternoon around 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. New episodes will be released as long as the legislature is in session. And Thrive Marketing. It's a full-service digital marketing company located in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses online at thrive.ms.
I use Thrive.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was supposed to have done all that with the news memo, but too bad, Chris. Flipped the script on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, sorry. Not sorry.
I can tell. Your mustache is in your head.
I'm a rebel.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to see the screen. Isn't it?
Yeah. So, we'll be back Wednesday, and so will this mustache, buddy.
Your threats don't scare me.
Gauntlet dropped.
Being here with Emma again, probably you'll be just too.
I'll be here.
Okay.
There may be some kind of partition between us or something.
Some plexiglass.
No, you can still see through that. I want one of these cubicles from out there. If I can just see you from the nose up, we'll be good.
Or just do this.
Oh, well, there's Brad. Hey, Brad. You look horrible now.
Yeah.
That's good.
Oh, God.
See you guys on Wednesday.